You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans, and welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, and Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential will be joining us in the second half of the show. I was at Dodgers night at the LA Kings game, where Chase Utley was the honorary puck dropper, and there was a lot of Dodger blue all around, so it was fun. But that means I got home a little later, and Jeff and I had to record separate. So Jeff will be on later to talk about Mookie Betts and how, you know, some people question whether he's not a pitcher, so he doesn't help the team that much, and Jeff answers why he does mean that much. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about the starting rotation. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so there was an article from Ken Gernick talking about, you know, how excited Dave Roberts is for Mookie Betts and David Price, and how, you know, it focuses on that, but then it later on it gets into when talking about Price, talking about the rotation, and this is what Gernick said. He said Ross Stripling figures to compete for the fifth starter spot with Alex Wood, Jimmy Nelson, Dustin May, and Tony Gonsolin, as Julio Urias is expected to finally crack the rotation as the fourth starter. With a quote from Robert saying, "It's Julio's time to make that jump and be a starter." Now, this is a little different from what Jeff proposed the other day. He had Buehler, Kershaw, Price, and Wood with everyone else competing for the fifth spot. This is a little different than that. But at least for me, I don't think it really changes anything of what I think the rotation is going to be. I said the other day, I don't think any other starter other than Walker Buehler is going to make 30 or more starts. I think everyone will be in the 20 to 28 range, depending how much it is. And they'll basically, you know, just rotate the last two spots in order to keep everyone fresh. And then along with that, mixing in a couple times in the rotation to get Kershaw and David Price an extra day of rest, or, you know, even sometimes running through some six-man rotations for an extended amount of time. And with, you know, so many guys that are able to be that number five starter, or even number four starter, it's just another testament to the Dodgers' depth, you lose Hyun-Jin Ryu, you lose Kenta Maeda, you lose Rich Hill, and you still have an eight-deep possibility in the starting rotation, and with none of them really being, you know, extremely overmatched. I mean, even Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, who were rookies last year, showed that they could get guys out and at the very least be number five starters in the 2020 season, unless they completely regress or you know, can't keep up with the major leagues. But it doesn't seem that would be an issue. And, you know, all these guys have a little bit of different things that they have for them. You know, Julio, even if he is a number four starter, he's still, you know, they got to watch the arm and make sure that he's not throwing too much. You want him ready for October. He's pitched in October the last 2 years and done very well in reliever role. And now it's time for him to step up and be that starter. Alex Wood had some injuries last year. And even if he's healthy, you know, doesn't seem like a guy the Dodgers don't need him to make 30 plus starts, so he's not going to make 30 plus starts. Jim Nelson coming off some injuries and some arm injuries, same thing. You know, if he competes and ends up starting, he'll get starts here and there, but for the most part, he'll be in that rotation. Dustin May, they'll want to keep him fresh and make sure he's ready to go for October. He pitched in October last year and did relatively well, so they want to make sure that he keeps fresh and doesn't throw too many innings early on in the year. And Tony Gonsolin, probably not as much not as much protection on his arm, but just at the the way it is now, he's probably lower on the totem pole, so he might not get as many starts. And then there's Ross Stripling, who doesn't really have any restriction on him, and probably, you know, for his personal sake, might have been better served going to the Angels trade, because he would have been able to be a full-time starter and pitch every 5 days, whereas here that's not guaranteed. But you know, Ross Stripling has said before that he'll do whatever needs to be done. He's happy to be on a winning team, happy to be on the Dodgers. And at whether that's starting or in a swing role or in a reliever role, he's going to do whatever needs the team needs him to do. So as far as the rotation goes, even if the first time through the order it's, you know, Buehler and Kershaw and Bryce and Urias and whoever else it is for the fifth time, you know, as with the Dodgers in here, I don't expect that to be the rotation for the entire season, obviously. And like with the disabled list rule going back to the 15-day, or the injured list, sorry, going back to 15 days rather than 10 days, so they can't rotate pitchers as much. They'll tap into that depth a little more. So, you know, some guys will come up, make two starts, maybe go on the IL, or in the case of Gonsolin, and maybe go down to the minors and pitch every 6 days. They'll want to keep, you know, everyone in between 100, 120, 150 innings, probably no more than that. You know, Kershaw and Price, if they're healthy, a little bit more than that. Buehler, a little bit more than that. And everyone's going to be collectively getting rest when they need to get rest. And that's just how it is. And that's the what the depth affords the Dodgers. And before they got David Price, and when the rotation was before set up like that, my idea for the Dodgers was that, you know, if they don't go out and get another top flight starter, someone to slot in ahead of Buehler or right behind Buehler, then their hope would be that Julio and Dustin May step up and they'll be fresh enough in October to maybe push Kershaw to a game four start. I don't see that happening quite yet. I still think the Dodgers will give Kershaw at least a game three start, depending on how this year goes. But now, you know, they do have David Price, who did well in the postseason in 2018 and has, you know, been a guy that's done well as a starter. And he's not quite, you know, a number two that you slot in right behind Walker Buehler and get excited for, but he could be. Kershaw could be that guy as well, but I think all the Dodger fans have a little bit of, you know, we love Kershaw, but at this point we'd rather see him maybe starting a game three or even a game four if that was the case, if the Dodgers go out and get someone even better, or if Julio and Dustin May make that big step. So, you know, more of the same during the season. It's more of the postseason where the rotation will get a little bit different, and where I think, you know, they need to try to add somebody right behind to slot in one or two with Buehler, or feel free to give the reins to Julio or Dustin May, because they do have the stuff to be able to be that guy, and they both have pitched in October now, so they'll be able to handle that pressure that comes with it. So we'll see how it goes throughout the whole year, but you know, that's kind of what I think the plan will be for the pitching rotation. And obviously injuries, real injuries or ineffectiveness or, you know, little bouts here and there will affect what happens. But for the most part, the Dodgers probably stick to that plan. Nobody gets more than 28 starts other than Walker Buehler. And even then, who knows, they might, you know, if they have a big enough lead in the division or something down the stretch, they might try go a 6-man rotation. So that's my thoughts on the starting rotation. Jeff is going to come in the second half of the show after this and talk about Mookie Betts and how scoring runs is just as important as preventing runs. And then later on the last day of the week, we'll probably talk a little bit about the press conference, maybe a little bit about the MLB official rule changes and the MLB. There's still the MLB proposed changes to the playoffs that we haven't got into. So there's a lot of stuff for us to get into the next day and next week, so stay tuned for that. But before I hit it back to, or before I send it to Jeff, let's talk about Arizona pitchers and catchers report today. As you're listening to this today, pitchers and catchers have reported to Camelback Ranch in Arizona, And if you've never been, it's a great place to be, especially now. The excitement for the Dodgers is back, I would hope, for most of you, for all of you. And Mookie Betts is a Dodger. David Price is a Dodger. Like I said, Bruce Dark Gratterall is a Dodger. There's a lot of new faces to go look at. Blake Treinen and Jimmy Nelson, who's a very nice guy, by the way. So get to Arizona. The weather is great. There are 15 baseball teams all at 10 stadiums, all within an hour of each other. And there's a lot to do beyond that. You can go grab some food. You can go find a water park. You can go, you know, up the road and go to the Grand Canyon. There's breweries if you like beer. There's, you know, bars and restaurants if you're into, or bars and that kind of stuff. If you're down, if you go into, you know, some of the college town areas, there'll be a little bit more bars for the younger crowd. So there's just a lot to do. It's perfect time right now, obviously, to start. If you haven't thought about a trip, you should think about it now. If you haven't planned a trip, you can go to visitarizona.com/springtraining to start planning that trip. And I suggest you do that soon because, like I said, pitchers and catchers are in Camelback. Most of the players are already be in Camelback. And the season is here and ready to go, so you might as well catch the Dodgers in Arizona before they start the official regular season in L.A. So visit arizona.com/springtraining, and I'll stay locked on Dodgers, and here comes Jeff Snyder. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans, but you may not know that Locked On Dodgers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Dodgers fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Dodgers fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Again, that's advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hey guys, it's Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Thanks to Vince for holding down the first half of the episode. We're going to go ahead and forego today's obscure former Dodger of the day, just because they're kind of hard to do on these split episodes. So I'm just going to jump right into my topic. To be honest, I don't actually know for sure exactly what Vince talked about because I am recording mine before he records his. So it's a little bit of a time warp thing. But I want to talk a little bit about Mookie Betts and just the idea in general of adding offense. Obviously, most of us Dodger fans are thrilled about the addition of Mookie Betts. And even some of the people I'm going to talk about, it's not that they're not excited to have Mookie Betts, but I have seen in a few places discussion of how Mookie Betts doesn't address the Dodger problem because their rotation has question marks and their bullpen has question marks. And so basically, since Mookie Betts can't pitch, he doesn't address their need. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that from a couple different angles. My overarching theory on this is basically that a run scored is just as good as a run prevented, because the way you win baseball games is by scoring more runs than the opponent. And whether that is scoring 7 and they score 6, or scoring 1 and they score 0, you can win games with great offense. And, you know, obviously, if you have terrible pitching, it's hard to score more runs than the other team, no matter how good your offense is. But for a team like the Dodgers, adding Mookie Betts is a huge deal because it will help them score more runs. That's the bottom line. And, where it gets a little tricky is it's not equally easy to score an extra run as it is to prevent an extra run. When you look at, all we have is projections so far, but right now the projections roughly that the Dodgers are going to score about 800 runs and give up about 600 runs in this coming season. And so obviously if you score 800 and you give up 600, you're going to win a lot more games than you lose. But what that means is it can be a little bit harder to move the needle offensively because, finding a guy, if you could get rid of a weak link on pitching, and remove basically every, how should I put this? Every run you prevent is 1 divided by 600 is about 2/1000ths of all of your runs. So every run you prevent, whereas if you add an extra run, 1 divided by 800 is about 1 1/4 1000ths, 1.6 to 1 and a quarter. So basically a run prevented, it's about 25% easier to, or more valuable to prevent an extra run as it is to score an extra run. But when you're a team like the Dodgers, you're looking for upgrades. And on the pitching market, other than Gerrit Cole, there aren't really any guys who were available this offseason who are significant upgrades over what they have in their starting rotation. And when it comes to the bullpen, they did address the bullpen. There's some question marks there, but there's a lot of potential for them to have really addressed that. But if we're talking about starting pitching, who was the second best starting pitcher to sign this offseason? Dallas Keuchel or Madison Bumgarner? One of those guys, maybe? And neither of those guys would have been a significant upgrade to the Dodgers rotation. Gerrit Cole is the only one who would have been, and obviously we know that that didn't work out, and it was probably never going to work out. But when you offensively, if they had been able to sign Anthony Rendon, he would have been a big upgrade. But the thing is, Mookie Betts is an even bigger upgrade. Mookie Betts is basically the biggest upgrade the Dodgers could have made, with the possible exception of Gerrit Cole, because Mookie Betts, even though, if he's replacing Alex Verdugo, Verdugo was very good, but he was no Mookie Betts. And so, and that's not to say Verdugo won't end up being super duper good. And we might even someday say, man, wish we hadn't traded Verdugo. But in the Dodgers position going forward, Mookie Betts is a huge upgrade. And, adding extra runs on the offensive side is just as good pretty much as removing runs allowed on the pitching side. And then the next common argument I get when I have to have this conversation is, well, but things are different in the postseason, pitching and defense win the playoffs. And basically, my thought on that is nuh-uh. It's still the same game of baseball. The winning team in each postseason game is the team that scores more runs than the other. And yes, there is better pitching sometimes. And so there are specific games, and it might even be slightly true overall that when there are fewer runs scored overall, each run is more valuable. If one team wins 12-6, then one run didn't matter as much as if one team wins 2-1. That's, simple math. And so if the pitching is better in the postseason, there is some truth to that. But, I look at the, last year, 2019, the Dodgers, in the narrative has been that Scherzer and Strasburg carried the Nationals. But the fact is, Steven Strasburg was in line to be the losing pitcher in the elimination game until Juan Soto and Anthony Rendon and Howie Kendrick hit home runs. It was the offense that won that game and saved Strasburg from being the losing pitcher in an elimination game. If you look back at 2017 in the World Series, the Dodgers won 3 games, they lost 4 games. In the 3 games they won, they averaged 4 runs per game. In the 4 games they lost, they averaged about 5.5 runs per game. And so it wasn't that the Astros beat them with good pitching. Justin Verlander was a losing pitcher in Game 6 and should have been the losing pitcher in Game 2, except that Astros hitters hit home runs and sent the game to extra innings and ended up winning. And so it's easy to say pitching and defense win in the postseason, but the reason it's easy to say is because people have been saying it for 1,000 years, and that doesn't make it true. Obviously, you want as good a pitching as you can get, and I do expect that the Dodgers will add a pitcher, like somebody, once an upgrade is available by trade, I expect the Dodgers to be in on it, whether it's Mike Clevinger, even maybe sooner than later, whether it's, a team with an ace that they fall out of contention. I don't know who it would be. I haven't even looked at who the potential free agents are next year, guys who might be. But, pitchers come available at the trade deadline. And so the Dodgers will be aggressive there, I'm sure, if they need to be, unless Dustin May or Julio Urias or, you know, a couple of those guys have become those guys. You know, the Dodgers may not need starting pitching come July, but if they do, I'm sure they'll be aggressive in getting it. I'm not saying that they don't need to have good starting pitching in the postseason, but the fact is that you can win in any way as long as you score more runs than your opponents. And Mookie Betts is such a good start to that. David Price could be a good start on the pitching side too. I expect Price to bounce back and have a good solid year. I don't think we'll ever see him contending for a Cy Young Award again, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him get down ballot votes this year, or at least to be, you know, one of the best number three starters in baseball, which is a low bar considering where he's come from, but, you know, it's what the Dodgers need right now. And so it's, you know, there's a lot, but basically what it boils down to is I can't wait for the season to start. I am so excited for Dodger baseball. Watching the press conference with Mookie and Price being introduced, seeing them in their jerseys and their hats, you know, we talked a little bit about it on yesterday's episode, how excited we were to see that. And it was about as glorious as it could have been. You know, you can tell that Mookie is not totally sure, you know, it's not a trade he was thrilled about. You know, when you've played your entire career with one organization, it's got to be hard to get traded, you know. But I do think he recognizes the potential and the opportunity to play for this team that could be really, really good. The Dodgers won 106 games last year, and I think they're probably better this year. You know, a lot of it comes down to what happens with the pitching. They did, you know, a lot of their wins last year came because Ryu was so, so good, and they don't have Ryu. But I think, you know, I expect Buehler to take a step forward, and then a lot of these young guys who could step in and replace, you know, I don't expect any of them to quite be as good as Ryu, but on the aggregate combined, they might be able to replace Ryu and Hill and Maeda at least as good as they were. And so it wouldn't shock me. I'm not going to predict the Dodgers are going to win 110 games, but it wouldn't shock me. You know, obviously you always kind of bet the under on those things because so many things can happen. But when you look at this team, even if you take out Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger's projections, I don't remember where I saw this. Somebody on Twitter said this. Even if you take out Betts and Bellinger, like just say, okay, they're injured for the whole season. The Dodgers are still projected to win the NL West by like 7 games. Even without their two MVP candidates. So that's how good and deep this team is. And as a Dodger fan, it's just such an exciting time. I just saw a picture on Wednesday night looking, you know, Camelback Ranch posted a picture, and it's Kike and then Muncy and then Bellinger and then JT and then Chris Taylor just there working out at Camelback Ranch already. They don't have to report for close to another week, but they are all already there. You know, all of them have hoodies on except for Kike, who has a tight shirt on because he's like, what's the point of showing up to spring training looking like this? So I'm not going to show it off. And, you know, just seeing the Dodger blue. I know it's a bias thing. It's a favoritism thing. I've gotten some pushback on my tweet about the Dodger uniforms being the best looking uniforms. But I still firmly believe that, even if I wasn't biased. But, you know, I'm okay with that bias. The fact is, I was born into a Dodger family. I've been a Dodger fan for 42 and a half years, and I love Dodger blue, and it excites me, and I cannot wait for, you know, spring training I'm excited for. I'm excited to start seeing some games happening, but I can't wait for opening day, for the games that count, to be sitting there in Dodger Stadium the first time Mookie Betts is announced, you know, in the regular season, like, and just, I don't know, everything about it. I'm so excited. I'm excited to have this podcast to share with you guys as we're moving forward. You know, Vince and I are coming up on a year of doing this. Next month, we will hit the year mark, which is pretty crazy and pretty awesome. It's been a blast. And can't wait to share this whole season with you guys, our listeners, fellow Dodger fans. It's been fun getting to know some of you guys. And yeah, it's a great time to be a Dodger fan. I think we are in for a great season. Thanks in part to Mookie Betts, but also just, you know, the whole team that's been put together. And, you know, there will be surprises. Last year, we didn't expect Will Smith to contribute, and then he did. The year before that, we had never heard of Max Muncy at this time 2 years ago, and now he is a key component on the Dodgers. So much to look forward to. known and unknown, and I can't wait to get to it. So that's going to wrap it up for us today. Vince and I will be back together to talk some more about, probably talk some more about the press conference a little bit and a few other things. Dodgers related, pitchers and catchers report today, and so there may be some news coming out of that. Obviously, the Astros, around the time you're listening to this episode, the Astros are holding a press conference to probably to not apologize or to fake apologize. So we'll probably have some words to say about that. So that's the plan for tomorrow. Please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there to help other people find us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. DMs are open on those. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. Also, both of us have our DMs open. You can email us at LockedOnDodgers@gmail.com. Call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want at 323-863-LOCK-5625. And I think that's all the ways to contact us. So we are here every weekday morning. We hope you will be here with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good one.
I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!